Guys, if there is one phrase that I wish we could be known as a church, it would be this, that we would be a church on mission. That we would be a church on mission. And maybe you don't realize this, but everything that we do here, every ministry that we offer, the times that we offer it, the windows that we offer it, the way that we're structured, in two services and double Sunday school for kids, the way that the building, everything that we have done as we thought and prayed over this place has been done with one purpose in mind, and that would be we would be missional, that we would live out our mission. Now, I realize, though, with so many new faces, with so many new families, it's hard to know what that mission is sometimes. You come in and we're teaching and we're blowing and going. And I thought, man, as we hit 2025, maybe it would be good because we have so many new faces to talk about what that mission is, to talk about the why behind what we do. And that's what we're going to do here over the next 5 weeks. We're going to talk about our mission this morning. We'll dive into it. But first, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you to do a couple things. If you have your Bible, we're going to be all over the place, all right? So, man, get ready. Get ready to be flipping, okay? So we'll be in a lot of different places. Sermon notes, if you didn't get one of these when you came in, I'm going to ask you to scan that sucker up there on the screen behind me. We are going to ask you to take notes. And you say, why should I take notes? I'm just visiting. That's exactly why you should take notes. Because if you're visiting, that means you're looking for a church. That means that God's brought you here because you're seeking some kind of community. You need to know what kind of community we are, okay? So I'm going to ask you to take notes so that you'll know why we do what we do at this church. Why do we operate the way that we operate? It really matters. So I'm going to pray, and I'll ask you to join me. Father, as we prepare our hearts to open your word and to study it, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would have your way with us. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher of this church. Every Sunday we try to step back and invite you to come and fill this pulpit and to teach us about Jesus from the inside out. Teach us why we're here this morning. Please, in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Amen. So what is our mission? Let's just start with that. I'm going to throw it up on the screen. This is the mission of FBCE, to see families in Elgin transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, loving through worship, learning through discipleship, living through service, and the sharing of the gospel. Okay? That's our mission. That's it. Loving, learning, and living like Jesus. That's it. Right? So we have a motto that we break that down into to make it a little more simple, but it's worship, learn, serve, share. That's it. That's why we exist. Everything that we do, every time somebody comes to us with a new idea, hey, I think it'd be cool if we do that. Awesome. How does it fit into this? Because this is our mission, right? So it's all gotta fit into this. That's what it's gotta. So that's why we exist. And over this 5 week series, we're gonna try to shine our light on the goal of all of it. Is actually let's go to that next one. I've highlighted it for you. That's the goal. We want to see families in Elgin transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the goal. Behind all of it, the goal is transformation, and transformation is what I want to talk to you about this morning. So there's three things I want to share with you when it comes to transformation, what the Bible has to say about it. And here's the first. I want you to know that transformation begins when we hear, understand, and respond to the gospel. Transformation begins, that word just means change. Change, real change, genuine change, spiritual change can only begin when we hear, we understand, and then we personally respond to the gospel, right? That word gospel, of course, means good news. We talked about it. We spent 13 weeks in the book of Galatians. We talked about the good news over and over and over again, right? And the world tells us that we need to try to make ourselves good enough for God, but the Bible tells us that God's standard for accepting us is not good, but it is righteous, and that's a problem, because it also tells us that none of us are righteous, that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that all the good stuff we do, all of our acts of righteousness are like filthy rags to a holy, pure, perfect God. Now, you may say, that's not good news. That's pretty terrifying news. I'm with you. It's quite frightening, but it does get better, because in spite of who we are, the Bible also declares that this God who made everything, who made us in his image, loves us dearly. In fact, he loves us so much that he gave his one and only son, Jesus. And that Jesus, who is fully God, who is eternal, chose to step into humanity. That he was born of a virgin. Hello, Christmas! And that he lived on earth as the only fully God, fully man person ever. Which is why his favorite self-designated title was Son of Man. And Jesus came and he walked this earth for 33 years, y'all. He never sinned. Not once. Even though he was tempted, he never sinned. And the Bible says that he lived that perfect life. He lived that righteous life because we couldn't. Because he wanted to impute, to give that righteousness to us if we would believe in him. But he didn't just live a perfect life. He in doing so, he fulfilled the law. He finished it on the cross. He says, it's finished. All of those commands, all of that religious stuff. Well, I've got to do this. Well, I've got to do that. Well, I've got to do that. Jesus is like, I've done it for you because you're going to fail. Right? But then he also died in our place because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Someone had to die, so Jesus died for us. And get this, the Bible would proclaim that if we would just believe in that, if we would just trust in that, it actually says everyone that would call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. What does that mean to call upon the name of the Lord? It means that you realize that God's standard's not being good, that it's righteous, that it's holy, 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 perfect, perfect, perfect. You look in the mirror and go, that's not me. I can't ever do that. I can't ever undo what I've done, nor can I make myself right with God. I need help. And when we realize that, we cry out for the one that came to save. You say, Jesus, if you are who you say you are, if you've come to save, if you came to live the life that I couldn't and die in my place, and all I have to do is put my faith in you, then I call on you because I want a relationship with God again. I want to be a child of God again. And so we say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I believe in you. When we call on the name of the Lord, the Bible says that we are saved, that we are born again, that we become children of God, that we are adopted into the family of God. That all of our sin is forgiven and all the eternal righteousness of Jesus is given to us once and for all. And God says, come to me, my son, and be with me forever. Like, that's the gospel. It's eternally good news. And it is at this second birth, it is at this moment of salvation that transformation begins. That's where we start. Second thing I want to share with you this morning is this. Upon that second birth, upon our salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit through which Jesus begins to change us from the inside out. Okay? Upon our salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit through which Jesus himself begins to change us from the inside out. Okay, this is going to freak some of you out. It's awesome though. Because listen, if anything in regards to my relationship with God is dependent upon me, that is not good news. Why? Because I am going to fail. So isn't this good? Man, when I put my faith and trust in Jesus, he actually comes to live in me. Galatians 2:20, Paul talks about this Christ living in us. He says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Paul also writes, not only does Jesus live in us when we put our faith and trust in him, but he starts to work in us. He starts to work inside of us to bring about change. He does the work. Are you following me here? Get this, Philippians 2:13. For it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose. So this process of change that happens within the Christian, that's what we're talking about when we say we want to see families transformed by the gospel. It's an inner transformation that is initiated and empowered by God. It's done in a spirit of cooperation as we submit to the Holy Spirit that now lives in us, as we submit to Jesus and say, not my will, but your will be done. The Holy Spirit, Jesus in us, now begins to bring change in us. And again, we call this transformation. 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul puts it this way, we all with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord. Okay? We're looking in a mirror at the glory of the Lord. And get this, and we're being transformed into that image. that we are being made into the very image of Jesus. He's doing it in us. And the Bible declares, get this, y'all, that in every person that God begins this work, ready? He will finish this work. Isn't that awesome? Come on. It's New Year. I know some of you made resolutions, right? I know you looked in the mirror. You said, I don't like what I see, right? Some of those were physical. Some of those were spiritual. Well, guess what? For those spiritual ones, I can't help you with the physical, okay? But for those spiritual ones, I've got good news. God is going to finish the work he started in you. God will finish. It'll happen. It may not happen in your time, but as you learn to submit to him, it will happen and you will be changed into the image of God, initiated and empowered by Jesus who lives and is at work in you. It's good stuff, right? It's good stuff. So what are we doing here? That's the last thing I want to share with you. I want to talk to you about the church. The church equips us for transformation and mission. That's why we gather. That's why we show up. That's why we exist. The church exists to equip us for this transformation and for mission. So I wrote this on Monday. Y'all excuse me if I read it. I thought it was pretty good, so I don't want to mess it up. All right? So here we go. The purpose of the church is to equip the people of God for ministry by continually preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel's practical implications, helping believers grow in their personal devotion and worship, encouraging them to discover and use their spiritual gifts through service, helping them grow in their understanding of the mission of Christ so that they will go out and live as ministers of reconciliation, as people on mission for Christ. That is why the church exists. 100%, that's why we exist, okay? Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 says, and he himself gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers to equip the saints, get this, for what? For the work of ministry. To do what? To build up the body, okay, of Christ until we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. I want you to notice this, friends. Equipping always results in serving. All true equipping results in serving. Okay? There is no sense of real discipleship that does not result in mission. I love you. There's learning that can happen. There's some puffing up that can happen. Look at all my biblical knowledge that can happen. Right? Man, I know everything, man. I've been studying. I know what everything in Revelation means. Look at me. Ask me a question. I know all the ologies. All of them. There's a puffing up that can happen. I deal with a lot of this in the church world, believe it or not. Sometimes from pastors. Sometimes from pastors with struggling churches. Churches that are dying. And I go to them and I say, what's going on? And they'll say things like this. Well, you know, we would rather be a mile deep and an inch wide than to be a mile wide and an inch deep. And I don't have a face. My face gives me away. Right? I mean, it just does. Like, I have this. I mean, like, if I lie to you, you're like, yep. It's the face, man. I know it. And so they say things, and I look like in shock. Like, if by a mile, if we're talking about salvation, if we're talking about bringing people into the kingdom, let me tell you, I want to be a mile wide. Right? And by the way, we're not an inch deep around here. You've been around here. You've heard our preaching, okay? So we're not just seeker-friendly, just like, but I'm telling you, there is no mile deep without mile wide. Because the deeper you go into the gospel, the more you understand it, the more you understand that you have been saved in order to be a minister of reconciliation. That is God's purpose for your life. Primary purpose. That's it. You are to love God and to love others, and you are on mission to go and share Christ with other people. That is why you have the job that you have. That is why you have the neighbors that you have. That is why you shop at the store you shop at. That is why your kid is on the team that they're on. For that purpose. Like, that's it. Our learning must result in mission. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20 says that Christ has reconciled us to God. And therefore, we are now ministers of reconciliation. Jesus, one of the last things he says on earth, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always till the very end of the age. So here's my question. How are we doing? Right? If that's why we're here, how are we doing? So we're going to do something a little different this morning. Is we're going to hear some stories here over the next 5 weeks of how this thing called transformation is actually being played out in the lives of some of our own people, okay? Of how this thing called transformation is being played out in the lives of some of our own people. So this morning, I'm going to call them up here, all right? Edith and Jalea, why don't you guys join me on stage? Yeah, let's go! Now, guys, Jalea was the first one to come to FBCE. She came to our youth program, and then mom followed. I'm so proud of these awesome ladies. They have both accepted Christ and been baptized, and we're pumped about that. So I've got some questions for y'all. By the way, standing in front of a bunch of people is really fun. So Jalea, I'm going to start with you because you're the first one on campus, okay? Are you ready? So I got my questions for you. So what first brought you to the youth program, and what made you want to keep coming back?
When the doors first opened here at this location, after a couple of Sundays, I went to see what the youth program was all about, and I really liked it there. And what made me want to keep coming back was I knew some friends that were connected here,
yeah.
And that was encouraging and fun. And then seeing the youth adults,
all the youth workers.
Yeah, awesome.
And
seeing them get more kids connected. With Thrive and putting effort and time into that.
Yeah.
And so that was motivating for me.
Awesome. So, how has being a part of the youth ministry here impacted your life?
It brought me to my Lord and Savior, so I'm forever grateful for that.
So my follow-up to that one is, when did you know you wanted to follow Jesus? When did that kind of, can you tell us?
That was at Thrive, on Wednesday night. Before that, I was getting to, know him and, know what everything meant. And then that Wednesday night, I knew I was ready. And, it was overwhelming because, that's when I knew. And I was excited for it. And that's when I told my mom I wanted to be baptized.
Yeah.
And so I was really excited for it because I was going to be a part of this amazing youth program and this awesome. Amazing church.
Awesome.
Overall,
all so. Right. Okay, Edith, your turn. You ready? She's like, oh, come on. How did Jalea's involvement in the youth program lead you to start attending at FBCE? How did you get involved?
So as Jalea stated, we had started coming when the doors first opened, and just hearing her excitement when she would attend, coming home, sharing what Coach Anderson and Coach Rowe, just the passion that, how they delivered the messages sparked interest in me and made me want to ask more questions like, hey, what did you learn today? Or how do you even read the Bible? How do you look up verses? She's the one that was being my teacher. She came home one day and was like, so Coach Anderson, had asked the question, if you were ready to accept, the Lord and Savior, raise your hand. And I raised my hand, and I think I'm ready. I'm doing the right steps. And I expressed to her, my desire to do the same thing. I want to do the same thing, but will you do it with me? You know, can we do it together? And that's how that started.
That's awesome. That was my follow-up question. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, what did FBC led you to see your need for Jesus? So it was actually your daughter.
It was my daughter, as well as listening to different stories, different testimonies from other people, you know, expressing the impact and changes that that this church has done, and just what difference it made in their lives. And then also, I have suffered from anxiety and panic attacks for several years, and I was tired of that. And and so after service, you always ask, you know, if you're ready to accept, you know, the Lord and Savior, you know, raise your hand. And I always wanted to do that. And I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, oh, gosh, that's going to put me in the spotlight. And, yeah, I didn't dare do that. And so there was one specific time that you had asked, if you suffer from anxiety, to let us pray for you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, Lord, you know, just give me the strength to do this. I got to do it because I'm tired of feeling this way. And so I mustered up enough energy and strength and courage to walk up front. And Coach Rowe was actually the person that was praying over me. And he, because there was different little groups, and so this little group was the anxiety group. And so so he told me before he started, he said, anxiety is just another word for fear. And that's how the devil wants you to feel, is he wants you to live in fear. And there was just something so powerful about how he prayed over me and how others were just praying over me, that immediately after, I felt like a lift, you know, a shift in me, and like just the weight just lifted from me. And so that just, words cannot describe what I felt afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. All right, so questions for both of you. All right. Julia, are you going to go first? So what changes have you seen in your own life since giving your life to Christ and being baptized?
It brought me more peace and emotional control, because I used to handle my emotions like pretty horribly, and just knowing Jesus, like, he brought me that, and that's transformed my life. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What about you, Edith? Changes in your life since accepting Christ, being baptized?
Like Julia said, peace. I tend to, like, now in difficult situations, like, put my trust in him and just pray about things, you know, instead of immediately going into the worry. So yeah, I would say a lot of peace, understanding, and just praying.
And how has this relationship changed?
We have a much peaceful home. Like, instead of like battling it out with, like, yelling and, you know, just ignoring each other, we listen, we love each other so much, and we understand, we give each other grace, and talk about it, you know, have healthy conversations now.
I would say the same thing too. It's like, when we would get into those, like, little petty fights, I would pray about it, and like, Jesus is in this too, so you got to pray about it and just work things out.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys talk about the Bible together stuff now, right? I mean, like, y'all will study together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Come on, man, come on. So one last question, and we'll let you go. By the way, y'all, for somebody that has struggled with anxiety to sit up on a stage in front of 250 people and talk about Jesus, you know what I'm saying? Like, that is the Lord. That is, you're doing so good. So good. So one question to wrap up. What would you say to somebody that is looking for transformation in their life, in their family? What would you say to them?
I would say get to know Jesus, because he's the only one that can transform, and, like, a whole, like, world. And so he can transform you and your family.
Amen.
So.
Amen.
I would say do it. I would say get connected, join FBCE. They truly are all about, you know, bringing people together, families. They focus on families and really have so much to offer for someone that had no knowledge and you know, where to begin. You know, they give you the tools, the resources, and the support that you need. You just need to talk to someone. So have the courage to do it.
Amen. Amen. Hey, guys, can we pray? Yeah, give them a round of applause. Amen. Hey, if y'all don't mind, I'm going to pray for these two awesome ladies, and then we're going to close out. And so, Father, I just want to thank you so much for Edith and Jalea. I thank you for saving them. I thank you for changing their lives. I thank you for changing their homes. And I thank you for giving them peace, Lord. We love you. And we pray that you would continue this great work in their life. Thank you for their testimony. I pray that you would use it this morning to touch somebody else's life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You did great. All right. All right. All right. So, listen. What do we do with all that? What do we do with this truth that the goal, mission of the church, is to see people's lives changed by the gospel? What does that call us to do? What does our testimony call us to do? What does the truth of God's word that we studied this morning call us to do? We believe God's word always calls us to action. And so I'm going to give you three things, three points of application, then we're going to let you go. Here's what I want to share with you this morning. Their story is this beautiful reminder that the gospel and the gospel alone has the power to change us, okay? And if you're here this morning, you showed up at church because you're like, you know what? We're here. It's the first Sunday of the year because we want change, okay? We want change. Listen, Jesus is the only way that happens. So I'm going to give you some application, then we're going to let you go. Here's the first thing, keeping first things first. Guys, number one, you got to receive the gospel. You've got to. Guys, we have to come to a point that we are done with us, okay? If you're here and you're like, man, I want change, and you've tried it on your own before, you've tried following all the rules, and you've tried to do it without Jesus, listen, I say this all the time, Christianity without Christ is miserable. It is impossible. It's just a bunch of rules. You're always going to feel like a failure. But some of you know Jesus, but you've never fully understood the gospel. Right? So you know that Jesus died to save you, but you've never heard the fullness of it. That when you receive Christ, you were given, you were imputed unto you, was all of his eternal righteousness that can't be taken away. That's who you are now. That it's no longer about trying to prove your worth to God. God loves you, and he's received you because of Jesus. And so every time you fail, man, you beat yourself up. Every time you fail, you reenact the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, and you run and you hide from God, and you blame other people. But when we understand the gospel, we know that even though we become a new creation, we accept Christ, we still live in the same old flesh, and we will do stupid things from time to time because we are humans, and this world has not been set right yet. It's coming, but it ain't happened yet. When I start to understand the gospel, not only do I apply grace to others, I apply it to me too, and that's what matters. Man, it changes me. So the first thing I want to challenge you to do today is receive the gospel. Listen, God's standard for accepting you is not your good behavior, okay? Our behavior ain't that great, okay? I know we like to, I'm a pretty good person, and when we say that, when you ask, what do you mean by you're a pretty good person? Somebody's response, like typically, is something like this. Well, I've never killed anybody. Wow. That's the bar, huh? Okay. Well, me neither. I guess we're in. Huh? But the Bible, Jesus actually says, you know, you heard you shouldn't commit murder, but I tell you, if you ever had hatred in your heart, you've already done it. Well, I've hated people. Oh, so I am a murderer, right? Like, this is what I'm saying, guys. There is no way we can make ourselves good enough for God. That is why Jesus came. Just accept it. Just go, Jesus, man, I'm so tired. This was my prayer when I got saved. I was about 20. That was a long time ago. It's like 28 years ago. It used to be like half and half at one point. It was a long time ago now. I just remember, I was like, I'm tired of this. My life is a wreck. Just take control. It was such a simple prayer. I didn't have any ology words in it, you know? It's just, Jesus, my life is wrecked. Take control. Like, that was it. And man, I knew in that moment he saved me. I knew in that moment I was his. I knew in that moment who I was supposed to be, what I was called to do, who I was supposed to marry. It's crazy. But I knew in that moment it was awesome. It was awesome. So receive the gospel. In a moment at the end of the service, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, we'll have an opportunity for you to do so. Second thing is, I'm going to challenge you over the next 5 weeks to join us. Right? If you've been coming, you're like, man, I kind of like this church. I kind of like the music. The pastor's okay. You know, and you like come in and you're like, it's fine. I want you to join us. Everything we do is about this one mission. Every program that we have, the way that we designed it, the way that it's set up, everything is about seeing families transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. We're all in. All the chips are on the table. This is it. We want to see legacies change. We want to see family histories of sin broken. Where families go, nope, no more, no more. Divorce stopped with me, right? My kids are going to grow up in a home that prays, in a home that forgives, in a home that extends grace, right? That's the home that it's going to be. And we just say, that's who I'm going to be. We're all in that. We're all in that. And so everything we've designed, you know, one of the announcements is about finances, y'all. Our Wednesday night set up, we do marriage, finance, parenting classes. We repeat that throughout the year. Why? Because we want to see families transform. These are the big problem areas. We want to help, okay? So man, if you're looking for a church home, I might be biased. I think we're a pretty good one. We'd love to have you. Lastly, if you're here... you're here, but you're not doing this. Guys, you're going to hear it. You're going to get sick of it. I mean, at some point, you'll just go find somewhere else. You got to get on mission. We exist to be on mission. Jesus saved you so that you would go and be a minister of reconciliation. If you are not regularly, we have these steps, right? Steps of evangelism, okay? Step one, regularly invite people to church. Why? Because at our church, the gospel will always be preached, okay? So if you're like, I'm nervous, I don't know if I could tell somebody about Jesus. I don't know, can you say, want to come? It's not hard. Just like that, want to come? You can come to church with me. Afterwards, we might go get something to eat. You know, I mean, it's fine. Listen, I lived in the panhandle for a while. I'm from Houston originally. I didn't think I had an accent for a long time. But up there, we started hanging up the phone and we didn't say bye anymore. They said bye. Bye. Hi. Bah. And I came down here and now I sound like that, okay? Want to come with me to church? We'll go eat. Level one, man, invite people to church. Regularly, every week, man, every people we come into contact with, hey, man, what are you doing on Sunday? It's an easy question. What are you doing on Sunday? Well, I don't know. I don't know. I had a few chores. Hey, I got something better. You know, let's do this. Why don't you go to church with me and then I'll take you out to lunch. And then, hey, how about I help you wash the car? I help you do that. Like, what? Okay, let's go. Invite people regularly. So that's step one. Step two, just tell people what God's doing in your life. If you are being changed by Christ, all you have to do is go, man, here's what God's teaching me. And they're like, what? That's cool. I didn't even know, right? Step three, actually share the gospel with them. We teach the gospel every week. One of the reasons we teach the gospel every week, not just so that people can come to be saved, but so that you know what to go share. Because that's what we're called to do. Okay? That's what we're called to do. We are on mission. So please do that. Guys, I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to let us go. But if you're here this morning and you have never put your faith and trust in Christ, I'm going to ask you right now, if you don't mind, just to bow your heads, close your eyes for 1 second. The lights may come down just a hair. Don't let that freak you out. We just don't want you to feel like everybody's looking at you. So if everybody in the room would just bow their heads, close their eyes just for a moment. Just want to ask in all sincerity, I think some of you are here because you want change. I think that's why you showed up the first Sunday of the new year. You want transformation. You want change. This morning you heard the only way true change can happen is by trusting in Jesus Christ. If you are here and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, but you would like to be a child of God, you'd like to know that your home is in heaven, that you belong to Him. Like if you want to know those things and you've never done that before, would you just raise your hand where you are right now? Just say, man, I want to trust in Jesus. Oh, awesome. Anybody else? I've got one up here. Anybody else? Just brave enough to raise their hand and say, man, that's what I want. Okay, awesome. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. We're going to pray this prayer real quick. Guys, there's nothing magic about these words. I told you when I was out at country camp in Columbus, Texas, I literally said, God, I'm a mess. Take control. And that worked, man. That worked. So let's just pray together. Nothing magical about these words. But people around you might pray out loud. That's them praying for you. Don't let it freak you out. They're not asking Jesus to come into their life again. Christians, that's already happened. But it helps them remember how they can lead somebody else to Christ. So we're going to pray this out loud. Dear God, come to you right now. Ask that you would come into my life and forgive me. Jesus, I've messed up. I am not perfect. And I know that there's no way I can be. But I believe that you were. So the best way I know how, can I ask you to come into my life and change me from the inside out. Mold me and make me into your image and use me to share the good news with others. Amen. Amen.